Blog Talk Radio.
Men show it is handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night show it knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them at he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycombed. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand these errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults, O Lord. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, where angels from great fall bring forth the
Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com, our online bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org, our online Bible College at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., and the Tony Owens Ministries, Inc., at www.reverseofrevival.com. House of Christ Ministries, Inc., now support Food for the Poor. We need your financial support in our effort to raise funds to assist the work that they are doing. Food for the Poor is helping the poorest of poor in in 17 Latin American and Caribbean countries, including Jamaica. There are no easy fix when it comes to poverty. Your donation will help to alleviate some of the pressing issues facing the poor. I pray that you'll find it in your hearts to give. You can visit us at www.foodforthepoor.org/Christ Ministries. All donations will be appreciated. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code, Section 501(c)(3). If you prefer to mail a check, please make it payable to Food for the Poor, Inc., and it should be mailed to 6401 Lyons Road, Coconut Creek, Florida, 33073. Please write on the check memo line SC80192 to ensure proper tracking. God bless you as you find it in your hearts to give. And please remember, every dollar counts. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. is an apostolic ministry that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ through a variety of mediums, from our radio broadcast every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, our monthly mailing lessons, our distribution of free copies of the Book of John and Romans in English, French, and Spanish. These books can be used for evangelism. Our Social Christian Network, our online Bible Institute and Bible College, our posting of Words of the Day on numerous websites. We are reaching hundreds throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed Word of God to the whole world, starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission at House of Christ Ministries is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemies of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are important components to bringing the gospel to the world. Together, we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request or share a testimony or make a donation or love offering, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Please be reminded, all donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code, Section 501(c)(3).
Thank you.
continue on this spiritual journey, I would like to share with you our statement of faith. We believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible Word of God. We believe that there is one God, eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the Church of God, which is in Christ at His return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance, faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and being baptized in water. We believe that regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body in answer to believing prayer. We believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, is given to believers who ask for it. We believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separated life in this present world. We believe in the Great Commission, according to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Let us take a look at Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Beloved, as we continue on this spiritual journey, we must take the Great Commission seriously. Now we will take a look at the comprehensive life and work of Jesus Christ, and this will be in a series. Though the life of Jesus Christ, as ordinarily understood, embraces the years of our Lord spent on this earth, as described in the four Gospels, his full career spanned the ages and invites reflections on its several aspects. Fundamental to the various I am saying of Jesus Christ is assertion of absolute existence. John chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Therefore, it is reasonable to think of him as belonging to eternity. The scripture, in fact, affirms his pre-existence and does so in terms of fellowship with the Father. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 17, verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And designation in advance as Savior of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times, his more immediate relation to the realm of men and things belongs to his activity in creation. All things come into being through him, and in him continue to have their cohesive principle. Evidence is not lacking for his presence too in the Old Testament. The manifestation of God in this period are apparently connected with the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. When Isaiah glimpsed the glory of God, he was seeing Jesus Christ. John chapter 12, verse 41 says, "These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him." Moses and the prophet spoke of him with special reference to his sufferings and the glories that should follow. In addition, there were covenantal statements which do not speak of the Messiah directly and personally, but which involve him in crucial ways. If you take a look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 to 14, as though in anticipation of the incarnation, the Son of God showed himself at times to the faithful in visible form as the angel of the Lord or angel of the covenant. Before his advent, Jesus Christ had thoroughly identified himself with his people, so that when he came unto his own. John chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God.
Jesus is mine, oh what a
continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission. Our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's book of Acts. I encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our lesson in a series, Understanding the Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Tonight's lesson will be Consecration, Developing the Inner Man for the Activation and Operation of the Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord of the whole earth. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, break me and mold me, fill me and use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me and mold me. Fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come into your presence tonight. And I ask for all cleansing. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, dear Lord God. Remove all transgressions from me, O God, in the name of Jesus. As I submit to you tonight, dear Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will dwell within me as I prepare for this teaching tonight. And as I do submit to you for consecration, dear Lord, I thank you and I bless you and I magnify your name and I lift you up. And as I crown you tonight, O Lord, I thank you once again for the opportunity and the privilege to dispense your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome once again to the House of Christ Ministries Present, Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. Our number one goal is Jesus Christ, and tonight's lesson will be consecration, developing the inner man for the activation and operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What is the meaning of consecration? It is the act of setting apart any person or thing to the worship or service of God. It means to devote our lives. It is also setting someone or something apart from that which is unclean or common. The book of Numbers, chapter 6, gives us an example of the consecration that the Nazarites took. It reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink not vinegar of wine, or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled in which he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, or for his mother, or for his brother, or for his sister, when they die, because the consecration of God is upon his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord." Beloved, the Nazarites understood that when they decided to get consecrated unto the Lord, that the devil would raise up issues in their lives, such as things from their past or situations happening in their families that would affect them. So they made their laws of consecration so that it would prohibit them from getting distracted. We as Christians must also take this attitude of determination toward our consecration. What can be consecrated unto the Lord? A. People can consecrate themselves to the Lord according to Numbers chapter 6. B. Your children, Anna and Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, which reads, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Your services to the Lord. Let us take a look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 5. "The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord. Your possession, your time, your money, your home, your car. And if we take a look at Leviticus chapter 27, verses 28 through 29, which reads, notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he had, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall he sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. None devoted, which shall be devoted of men, shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. And we will now take a look at Joshua chapter 6, verse 19. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And we will now take a look at Micah chapter 4, verse 13. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Beloved, ministers, ordination, Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 says, and God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. We are temples of God, and we must be consecrated. Once again, we are temples of God, and we must be consecrated. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20 states, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Beloved, we are temple of the living God, in which he now abides. In the Old Testament, the glory of God would come into the temple made of hands. But it is important to note that in the temple, its utensils, the people, and everything that was used in the temple were consecrated and set apart for the Lord. Even the oil that was used for the anointing people and things was set apart, consecrated, and could only be made and used for God's work. And if we take a look at Exodus chapter 30, verses 24 to 38, which will explain about the consecration of the oil. Beloved, it is very important to understand why must we be consecrated. But before we go any further, I shall take a look at Exodus 30, verse 30. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his son and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And if we take a look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 to 5, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likenesses of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Why must we be consecrated? 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, but ye are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are royal priesthood, and priests should be set apart for the service of the Lord our God. God does not share people or things dedicated to him. God is a jealous God. He will not share his temple with carnal things. We just take a look at Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 to 5. When we truly get consecrated unto the Lord, we must remove mixture from our lives, because God will not share any of us with the world. He will not flood temples with his presence if they have unclean things in them. When we are actually godly, God consecrates us. Psalms chapter 4 verse 3 states, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. This scripture tells us that if we walk in godliness, the Lord himself consecrates or sets us apart for himself, and he hears when we call him. The work in the church must be consecrated. If we are to minister in the church or to God's people in any way, song, teaching, preaching, scripture reading, prayer, or anything, we must be consecrated, because no unclean vessel should be used in the temple service. Numbers chapter 3, verse 3 says, these are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests which were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest's office. How do we get consecrated, beloved? God is not into unclean, common, or compromised things or people. If you want God's presence, get consecrated. Once again, if you want God's presence, you must be consecrated. How can we be consecrated? First, cut the television off, cut the radio off, take a day or so, and set it apart unto the Lord, and stay in his presence. Stay in prayer, fast, read the Bible, and seek God's face or his will. It is God's will that you be consecrated. We must put away worldly things, for they are an enemy to those who seek to get consecrated. Let us take a look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, which says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We must remember that if we love the things of the world, we probably are not consecrated. This leads us to compromise and often backsliding or turn away from the Lord. It is important to rest and pray in the midst of ministry. There are times in Jesus Christ's ministry that he just set himself apart from his disciples and the masses of people to pray and rest. I encourage you, all those who are in ministry, to take seriously what Jesus Christ did. The rest was not one of leisure, where he went to an amusement park, but rather resting in the presence of God the Father through prayer. Jesus Christ was setting himself apart, which gave him spiritual strength and focus to continue in the Father's will. Beloved, we must remember that with all the noise in this world and its activities, it is hard to hear from God, and so we must stop and set some time aside for God to hear from him clearly. The Christian consecration. Just as the Nazarites had their laws of consecration, we as Christians also have a consecrated way. The consecration we must walk in is self-denial and not loving our lives unto death. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38 says, "And when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Beloved, we must literally be willing to die for Jesus Christ and his work. Again, we must literally be willing to die for Jesus Christ and his work. For true spiritual seed is our lives laid down in consecration to the Lord, which will bring forth a spiritual harvest of souls. This walk is a walk in which we give up our lives for the glory of God. In the earthly church, many Christians were required to lay down their lives. The growth of the church is directly attributed to the willingness of individual Christians laying down their lives for Jesus Christ. This is the consecration or setting apart that we as the church in the latter days must be willing to do. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, speaks of the true Christian attitude. It reads, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Beloved, we must be set apart or consecrated that we are willing to drink of the same cup as our Savior Jesus Christ did, which is a willingness to be martyred or give our lives in pursuit of the will of God. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 20, verses 22 through 23, But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye be able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. This cup was a cup of death. We must all be willing to drink from this cup if it is God's will for our lives. There is no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ tells us that we are his friends if we do what he commands. Greater love for our friend Jesus Christ and this world that he died for is reason enough for each of us to be willing to lay down our lives for Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 27 through 28, Jesus Christ speaks of his blood being shed for many, and he tells us to drink of it. Jesus Christ's purpose must be our purpose. His mind must be our mind, which is to redeem mankind, even if it requires physical death. How many Christians would be willing to die for Jesus Christ? We must ask ourselves the question. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For some of us, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God will be for us to die for his glory. For it may be that your dying might win many to God. This is what we are set apart or consecrated to do, to be willing to lay down our agendas, our ideas, our ministries, our churches, and our very own lives, if the Father's will. This is true consecration. Beloved, are you willing to present your body as a living sacrifice? Once again, I ask this question to my fellow believers and Christians. Are you willing to present your body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord? God bless you. As we continue on this spiritual journey, our lesson for tonight was consecration. I pray that it was a blessing to you. If you would like more information on tonight's lesson, or you would like to request copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Of God is mighty and powerful and is well able to profoundly influence your lives. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you enter into an eternal and unbreakable covenant with God. At that time, all of His promises are available to you if you receive them by faith. I would like to extend an invitation to you to join me on the Roman road to salvation. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you had previously accepted him and turned away from him, he is waiting to be restored as the Lord and Master of your lives. Beloved, God created us in his own image to have an abundant life. God gave us a will and freedom of choice. We chose to disobey God and go our own sinful way, resulting in separation from God. Tonight, I encourage you to take a look at your lives. Think about, if you should die tonight, what would happen? Where would you spend eternity? I encourage you to turn away from the sins of the world and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But what does it mean to receive Jesus Christ? It means to accept Jesus Christ as all God offers him to be for everybody. Jesus Christ is God's gift. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus Christ is standing at the door of your heart. Jesus Christ is knocking. Jesus Christ is listening and waiting for you to make that decision. For those who are turned away from him, tonight I am asking you to renew your commitment, because tomorrow might never come. Think about it, brothers and sisters. Tonight, I am asking you to renew your commitment to Jesus Christ. Will you receive Jesus Christ right now? Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not true, and his word is not in us." Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, beloved, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We all have to travel that road one day. Where will we spend eternity? We must not take this invitation lightly. God did not come to save the righteous, he came to save sinners. Beloved, we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We had choices. Tonight is that night. Tonight is that night. I encourage you. Jesus Christ is waiting for you. Thank you. Before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. Beloved, once again, I encourage you. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 16 verse 24 says, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ in your life tonight, I invite you to join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you admitting that I am a sinner. Right now, Lord, I choose to turn away from sin, and I ask you to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross to take away my sins. I also believe that he rose again from the dead, so that I might be forgiven of my sins and made righteous through faith in him. I call upon the name of Jesus Christ to be the Savior and Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, I choose to follow you and ask that you fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. I declare that right now I am a child of God. I am free from sin and full of righteousness of God. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I thank you and I bless you tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I bless your name. Lamb of God, I thank you. Let your Holy Spirit dwell within me. Lord, I thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, cleanse me, wash me, consecrate me, O God, in the name of Jesus. I declare now that I'm a child of God, and I'm free from sin. I'm full of the righteousness of God. Beloved, if you have just prayed this prayer and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to take a firm stand for Jesus Christ. Make your life a count. Tell someone about your decision. Read and study God's Word. Pray every day. Identify with the Bible teaching church for worship, instructions, fellowship, and service. You can also write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the full fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with you all. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, reminding you to tune in to us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We pray that this teaching is a blessing to you, and that you will continue to seek God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless you, and good night.